ditty to say before we go to bed, or I think we ought to pray over our children every evening. Is it just a small blessing during a dinner table? What is prayer? What is prayer to you? I wonder if I could ask you this question this morning. Do you believe prayer makes a difference? Amen. I do too. I believe most people believe that. I believe that even folks that don't believe in Jesus might believe that prayer works. But we believe, do you believe it makes a difference? Prayer could make a difference. So we're going to take a little journey in the month of January about prayer. And we'll learn some things. We'll learn some how-tos. But at least I feel in my goal this month is not to teach you about prayer, but to encourage you to pray. If you're like me, and maybe I'm the only one here, I don't know, but I feel like I could pray more. Does anybody feel like I do? Yeah, I feel like I could always pray more, but I'm glad that we can pray a little, we can pray a lot, we can pray more, we can pray less. And I hope if you're a prayer warrior or you pray on a regular basis, that this will continue to help you pray. I pray if you struggle with a consistent prayer life, that this would help you and that you would be encouraged. We start this week again, and we'll do it every week of the year, and everybody has one in their seat, is a week of prayer. And we'll start this before we leave church today. We'll start with the Sunday focus. And here's what I'm asking you to do, and we did this last year, and I believe God really answered prayer for our church last year, is that I'm asking you to get up and pray at 6 every morning, day by day. There's a focus here. We'll all be praying together. We won't be under the same roof. Also, this is the journal that goes with this list. If you want to go on Amazon and buy my prayer journal, it gives you more things to pray about, more specific things. And I got to thinking about that as we went through the year, is, you know, some of you get up earlier than that. Some of you are already at work at 6. Well, then pray at 5. And then some of you said, I can't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, then pray at 7 or 8. But why don't we as a church, first week of every month this year, pray with a focus. And then we'll wrap up the end of our week Saturday at 6:30 in here in the Student Center. There was a word given to me today that says, I feel it's in the context of the direction we're going in a prayer called course correction. It said, the course correction, we might think this is a little thing, but if we were astronauts, then it's the difference between life and death if we were trying to get back to Earth. It's time to humble yourselves, and breakthrough is right around the corner. I believe when we get on our knees and pray humbly, that breakthrough is right around the corner. And that just small adjustments, you know, if when the some of the astronauts left the moon, if they'd have been off a tenth of a degree, they'd have missed the Earth by hundreds of thousands of miles. And so I do believe the Holy Spirit is just calling us to a course correction of prayer. For 21 days, I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord today, ask the Lord this afternoon, how you would fast as well. Will it be food? Will it be a thing? Will it be a water fast? Will you do it once a week? Will some of you do a 21-day Daniel fast? What's a 21-day Daniel fast? It's a time. It's basically fruits and vegetables for 21 days. But I want you to ask the Lord how he would have you fast as we pray together and fast together. And so this week, get up and pray. We'll be praying together. There's power in agreement. There's power when we agree. And I'll see you next Saturday morning at 6:30. Let's get out and come and pray collectively together. We're going to do this all week. And ask the Lord. And I want to pause right now and ask him to guide us, each one of us. You know, he's calling us collectively to do this, but how he would guide each one of us also in our fasting. Lord, it's a new year. I like new years. And it is time, sometime to recalibrate, to correct our course, to see clearly, to be more intentional about what you're doing in our lives and the lives of others. And Lord, I pray as we open this message this morning as we open the Word of God and as we learn and talk about prayer for the month of January. First, Lord, hear and answer our prayers, O God, as we come before the throne of grace, humble this morning. Lead us, Holy Spirit. We don't do things just to do it. We want to live in your will. We want to live in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to pray. To pray for our church, God. To pray for our community. To pray for our family. To pray for the folks that's in our workplace. To pray for the country people, the rural Americans, small towns. To pray for our missionaries in the world. To pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. Anoint us to pray, O God, and hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Do you believe prayer makes a difference? Do you believe prayer makes a difference? Then let's do it. Amen? Let's do it. Let's grow in that area. Luke 11, 1 through 4. And we're going to read this in a couple of texts. It says, now Jesus, and by the way, we had a technical difficulty rather than the flicker. We'll fix that this week and we won't be flicking with the flicker. So we only got one screen left. Is one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, I don't think this is interesting. Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, why do you think that's... Look, they've been with him right around 3 years. They've been traveling with Jesus basically, or did. I don't know what part of their journey they was in here. But for about 2.5, 3 years, the disciples went everywhere Jesus went. They spent the night in the same camps. They ate meals together. They were in crusades together. They were in ministry together. They had meaningful conversations, and of all things, and I know they prayed together, and we know because Jesus was praying all the time. You can read this throughout the Gospels, how Jesus would hide away and pray. And then here they are in this moment, this teachable moment, and of all the things they learned, they come and ask him how to pray. And I don't know. I just think that's a legitimate question, but in my mind, I thought of all things, why would they ask him how to pray? But I think they saw, and we know Jesus was all man and all God. We just got through with Christmas and all that, and we know that. But they realized, I believe, that Jesus bathed them. He would get away from them. He'd separate himself from the crowd. They'd work all day and ministered all day, and Jesus going up the mountain, spend time with the Father in prayer. And I believe they saw something about him that they desired. There was a quality or a trait in Christ that they desired. Are there any things in Christ that you desire? Right. You know, when John the Baptist was being questioned about Jesus, he answered him and he said that John might become less so that Jesus become greater. I believe having a prayer life is key to Jesus becoming greater and greater and greater in our life. I believe that. So let's look what he taught him, and let's expand another scripture. It's the same scripture, just in another gospel, and it's a little more magnified than the other one. So I'm harmonizing two texts this morning. Let's look in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. And this is the one that we pray, and I can't, there's no scripture going to come up over there. Do you see me look? And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I'm going to keep reading. But your Father sees. The Lord sees. God sees. This morning, you may feel lonely or left out or rejected or not. We're in all different situations this morning without a shadow of a doubt. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is looking down on you and He sees. Aren't you glad He recognizes who you are and where you are? Amen. So when you pray, go into your room. We're going to read it and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Can somebody say hallelujah to that? Hallelujah. I'm going to talk a little more about that a little later. This then is how you should pray. Whoop, you went too quick on me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And the scripture goes on to say, for thine is the King James, that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So when you put these two texts together, they're asking Jesus about how to pray out of all the things they could ask. And then Jesus replies when you harmonize both texts, well, when you pray. So again, it wasn't like they hadn't prayed. They were. All of you have prayed one time or another. All of you here this morning pray maybe more than some others. But now, when you pray, see, Jesus assumes, Jesus, or maybe He expects, maybe it was more like this. Well, when you pray, maybe they weren't as prayerful as they should have been. And maybe He was reflecting, go, well, when you pray, you see what I'm saying? I believe Jesus expects us to pray. I believe God desires that we pray. I believe that He assumes that we do pray. Because after all, we believe prayer works, don't we? We believe that prayer works. So He lays out some simple guidelines here. And again, my messages are never rocket science. I try to keep them as simple as they possibly can be where we can learn. I need things to be simple for me to learn. I'm not very complicated. Is find somewhere private. Now, if you read the whole scripture and you read all about prayer, there's many, many times to pray publicly. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. I've heard people say, well, if you're not praying in private, that's not Bible. Well, read the whole Bible. They had a lot of corporate prayer meetings in the scripture. Like we do here. We pray here together. But Jesus was referring to their own individual prayer life, I believe. He said, now, find a private place. Look to your neighbor and say, you need to find a private place. Now, that can be, and I don't know, I'm going to try just to teach the word, not meddle. That can be anywhere. But there's something about, and I've taught this a bazillion times, of the same place, the same time, every day. Same place, same time. Where are you going to keep your appointment with God? Where are you going to work God into your schedule? And our schedules are different, and the Lord really doesn't care. I like the morning. I think the morning works better for most people, but not necessarily. Midnight may be your time. The thing is make a private place. Now, I know, I know a lot of people pray while they're driving. I do too. I think that's okay. Now, I know that when you get really carried away, you two of you about run me off a road, but the scripture also says pray without ceasing. So, I mean, I get on the treadmill at the gym, and I start praying in tongues. Not loud. They don't even know I'm praying in tongues. God knows. so we pray, but you know, I hear people say, but I'm sure not anybody in here. Well, I get my daily prayer time with Lord in the car. Well, no, you don't. You do, but you don't. He wants our total attention. He's asking each one of us this morning for our total focus. I know we have to drive. we go to work. God's provided jobs. We have busy lives. We serve in the ministry. We have friends. We have family. I get it. But couldn't we give God a sliver of our day, especially if we believe prayer works, especially if we believe God's good, and we do, especially if we believe Jesus loves us, and He does, especially if we believe He sees us, and He does, especially if we believe He's for us and not against us, and He is. Couldn't we work Him in? Maybe you start with 5 minutes. Maybe some people have 2 hours. Maybe some people have 30. Maybe you have 15. But going into this year, and it's that little adjustment we read about, y'all. Could we focus in on Christ totally for so many minutes a day? Whatever you can do, whatever God is calling you to do, can we do that? Find a private place. Find a time. Put it on your day runner. Put your prayer time, your devotional time on your day runner. Work Him into your schedule. He came to us. He worked His way into our schedule. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have eternal life and not perish. Jesus intervened. Jesus came on Christmas and died on Easter to pay a price for our sins. God came, and God still comes. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Because of what He's done for us, can't we work Him in? Well, I find that private place. Then I show up Tuesday and pray at the women. Then I come on Sunday and pray at the altars, and we do that together. Well, I just want to share two principles today that is as basic as it comes. As basic as it comes about what prayer is. Number one, it's all about relationship. Look, you can write your prayers down. You don't have to write your prayers down. There's all kind of methods. You can kneel, you can stand, you can walk, you can lay on your back, you can lay on your face. There's all kinds of postures in the Bible. You can be very loud, you can be very quiet. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to teach you all the postures in the way. It's just about a relationship. You know, I've gotten to know Darla pretty well over the years. We've celebrated 37-year anniversary just a few days ago. Hallelujah. She told me she thought I was better looking than ever. Easy. I saw some of my board members, they were going to say something. 37 years. 5 years we dated. Way too long. We almost didn't survive the courtship. 5 years is way overrated. That's another story. But I know her, and she knows me as well as anybody on earth. Not because we've lived under the same roof for 37 years. It's because we talk, and we listen, and we share, and we walk through things together. We celebrate victories together. We join together through those dark seasons that life definitely brings everybody's way. We're in relationship. You know, some people think I get married, I do the honeymoon, everything's good, I got a great job. But relationship is key. That's what prayer's all about. Just getting to know Jesus. Talking to Jesus and listening to Jesus in return. It's all about relationship. It's not some formality. around the table or some formality at church. And I know churches and I know people have made it a religious formality, but if it has to be, it has to be something that comes from our heart, that comes from our mouth, that comes into our ears. It's a relationship with Almighty God. We have to cultivate that relationship. And most likely, and we talk about the Word a lot, and I did last week, this is key to all of that, because this is God talking to us. He does it through His Word, and then He does it through that still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, somebody, God is still speaking, and God is still speaking through His Spirit. The primary way I walk in relationship, going to church, yep, that's one way. Being in fellowship with other believers, yep. Reading my Bible, yep, all that. But probably the most primary, intimate, deep, meaningful way to get to know Jesus is to spend time in prayer. You got to make time for it. What if I slid Darla in 10 minutes a week? We would have made it maybe to about 7 years. I have people in my life. I'm reflecting on one. I won't mention any names. Married 39 years, woke up one day and ended it all because they hadn't spent time together for the last 19. Living under the same roof. I don't want to just live under the same roof with Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to hear the voice of Jesus. I want you to experience the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit makes all that a reality. But we're going to have to make a time for God and a place for God and get in communication with God and be in relationship with God. Look, if you've asked Christ as your Savior, you're saved to the bone. Why don't you want to know Him? I know Him more today than I did. I hope in a year I'll know Him more, be more close. You hear what I'm saying? It's all about a relationship. And it's a special, special relationship. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, whoa, our Father. Well, how should we pray, Lord? Well, pray Jesus. How should we pray, Lord? Oh, God. How you should we pray, Jesus? Hey, Jehovah. I mean, all those are okay. Our Father. Our Father. How do you pray? Pray to Him like a father. A lot of us had good dads. Some of us didn't have such a good dad. Some of us didn't have dads at all. But does everybody here know that a good father is a good father? That Almighty God is a perfect Father, a caring Father, a kind Father. He can be a strict Father sometimes. But He's good and He's for us. How do you pray? What prayer pattern do I need? What words do I use? Can you give me a few written copies? Just come and say, Daddy. Dad. Here I am this morning, Dad. How do I pray? Our Father. It touches my heart. He wants us to be in relationship and know Him as a Father. Some said, well, I didn't have a very good relationship with my Father. Do it with Jesus. It'll be good, I promise you. I give you my word, Jesus won't let you down. And for those of you that had a good father like I did, a father that was my best friend, Jesus is even a better father than my dad. My dad's birthday is January the 2nd. So guess, and dad passed away 3 years ago now, something like that. And dad and I were very close. The last half of my life, I lived 2,500 miles from my father, which was very hard on both of us, but we both knew that God had called me to Arizona. And my sister posted a Facebook picture on his birthday. And for me, and I know we, you know, in the South, it's daddy. It's daddy and mama. Out here, it's kind of mom and dad. Or maybe it's whatever. I'm sitting there looking at that picture. Not sad, because Dad's in heaven. Some of you remember the last time I talked to him alive, I led him to the Lord in his driveway, sitting in the car. One of the greatest days of my life. I'm looking at Daddy. And the word for father is Abba, which in Southern lingo means daddy. Abba. Abba, daddy, daddy. It's a term of endearment. It's a term that speaks of a close connection. Daddy kind of sounds childish in a way, doesn't it? I mean, really? I mean, dad or father sounds a little more dignified. It's daddy. And I said, Daddy, I'm just looking at daddy. And I'm thinking about all the good memories. I'm thinking about how he loved me. Far from perfect, just like I'm far from perfect. But he made quite a few mistakes in life, as I have. When I'm looking at the picture of my daddy, my heart grew warm. And I began to think of all the times Daddy was so good to me. Oh, you may not think so, but, you know, he got me a 410 shotgun when I was 4 years old. I had my own gun. That's my daddy. And then he broke me in. He gave me his 12-gauge and said, "You want to shoot the 12-gauge? I said, "Well, sure, Dad." He said, "Hold it tight to your shoulder. I'm going to stand behind you." I pulled the trigger and I ended up in Daddy's arms. Never forget it. Oh, he laughed. We laughed. Thought about all the times Daddy was sitting in the stands at the basketball games. He thought I was the best player every game, whether I was or not. I thought about the time I had passed out in the car with the car running. I wasn't living the way I was supposed to live. I made it home. I don't know how I made it home, but I forgot to turn the car off. And Daddy had been trying to get in the car. And I woke up, and he had gone and gotten a sledgehammer, and he's getting ready to break the window out because he thought I was dead. He'd been yelling, beating on the car, trying to. And Daddy, when I unlocked the door, he walked around the other side, and he opened the door, and he sat down. And he knew I was in bad shape. He said, "Son, you know I really love you, don't you?" I went, "Yeah, Daddy, I know." He said, "I'm not the smartest guy in the world." He said, "But when something's got a hold of you that you don't have control of, you need to get help." He said, "Son, I think you need to get help." He was right. Let Jesus be your daddy. He's for you and not against you. He'll love you when you're not unlovable. He'll be patient with you when you don't deserve patience. Don't deserve patience. Don't deserve his patience. He's daddy. I want you to go to prayer. I want you to find a spot on your calendar. I want you to find a private place this year, even if it's just 5 minutes early or late, or take a lunch break at work and find a private place and pray and talk to Daddy and let Daddy talk to you. And it's more than talking and going back and forth. And it's that little adjustment we're talking about. You get to experience the presence of Daddy. It's an experience when you're praying. It's about relationship. It's not just about what Darla and I are talking about. It's how we're talking about, what we're talking about, what we're feeling in our hearts toward one another, what we're feeling in our minds towards one another. That's the way it is with Daddy when you pray. You know about His love because you read about His love. You know about His love because I tell you every Sunday about His love. But when you're in the presence of the Father, when you're in the presence of Abba, when you're in the presence of Daddy through prayer, you know His love. You taste His love. You experience His love. You know His grace. You know His freedom. You know His peace. You know His kindness. You know it. It's not in words. You know it because you're in relationship with Him. Hallelujah. And He's my Daddy. Say, no, my Daddy. That's right. He's our Daddy. He's not an unknown God. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's personal. The Scripture says in James 4 and 7, I'll just read it, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But what I want to emphasize today, then it goes on to say, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. How do I draw near? Numbers of ways. But one way that's important in 1 John 1 and 9, I use this scripture 2 or 3 times a month usually. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm sitting in that car and I look over at my Father, an earthly Father, who didn't have any power to save me like our Heavenly Father does. I said, yeah, Dad, I need help. That's what confession's all about. It's making that place with Dad and part of that relationship and that communication, because that's only the second point I'm going to make is communication. Yeah, Dad, I need help. I blew it yesterday. I blew it tonight. I had a bad thought. I didn't think. I didn't act. I didn't say. I didn't speak. Daddy, I need help. I need to be forgiven. I need to be washed. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. That's a relationship I'm talking about. And I'm not being legalistic by prayer. You don't even have to pray to be saved. I think I could prove that in the Scripture. It hurts me to say that. Why wouldn't you? You have to pray this. You have to pray to get saved. You have to call out to God. You get to pray to know Him and experience what I just read, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I've noticed when my prayer life is where it ought to be, and other, I just have a little more victory. I'm not being legalistic about it. I could pray 5 hours a day, and if it was religious and formal and didn't come from my heart and wasn't as I related to Daddy, it might just be formality and religion. But if you do it from your heart, however little it is or however much it may be, you can experience the peace of God in any situation that surpasses all understanding. You can be in the darkest valley and be in the prayer closet and know the peace and the victory of Jesus Christ. Come on. It's real. He's real. And we get all caught up and we get anxious and we try to fix things and we try to do this when all we need to do is keep our appointment with God. Hallelujah. Because it's relationship and communication. So I'm segueing into communication. They overlap. You can't have relationship with somebody unless there's communication taking place, and you can't communicate without cultivating relationship. Revelation 3:20, and I think I could bring that one up. Jesus said this, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." Everybody take your hand, knock on your heart. That's us. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Whoa, that blows my mind. That's the words of the Lord. That's the words of Jesus. See, you enter into your relationship with Christ when you're born again. Jesus also said in John chapter 3, when he talked about sending his son, said you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. What is born again? I repent of my sins. I invite Christ in to be Lord and Savior of my life. And if I'm sincere, he does it through faith, right? Amen? Amen. So, my relationship with God starts or depends, I'd rather use the word depends, upon birth. Coulter is my son. He's a big boy. I always wanted to be his height and size. But at least I had a son that got there. So proud of him. He's my son by birth. We're his children as when we ask him in because we're born again. We're saved would be another word. We're justified by our faith through Christ before God. We've repented of our sins. We've been forgiven our sins. Just the basic gospel, right? I'm a Christian, Dale Christian, by birth. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. He came into my heart. When I walked out of that little Assembly of God church, I didn't walk out the way I walked in. That's by birth. But there's another piece I think we forget. My relationship, now I'm saved, so get that. Stay balanced with me. But my relationship with God, or how good it is, depends on my behavior. And I didn't dig the scriptures out. I could, you could. There's scripture that says, you know, if you don't repent of your sins, God said, I won't even hear your prayers. That's in the Word. It's in here. You can find it. And yet I know I'm not perfect. I need to be perfected. I need His grace. I need to practice that confession. I'm born into the kingdom of God. Because of what Christ did on the cross, I'm a child of God. But how good my relationship with Him is depends a lot on my behavior or my misbehavior. He can cover my sins. He can cover every mistake. He will. Somebody give me an amen on that. Now, y'all think I'm going to take you down that line. I will someday, and I teach it quite often. I'm not going that direction. I'm just saying if you want an intimate relationship with God and great communication with God, you need to behave. You can't live continually, practice your sin and live in your sin and be in good relationship with God. You can be saved for a long time, actually. It's not hard to, and I could get you a dozen scriptures. If there's something God's been dealing with you about, after a while, it will put a wedge in your relationship with God. It'll hinder your intimacy with Father. Now listen, the Father's perfect. The Father and Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus never misbehaves. God never misbehaves. I do. It's one thing to practice sin. It's one thing to get in the flesh and repent and get in the flesh. It's another thing to be controlled by sin and being in the flesh. We're in these containers till Jesus comes. We're in them. I get up every morning and I'm still in flesh. That's not an excuse, it's just true. But if I keep things in my heart that are contrary to the Word of God, and I'm in bondage or I'm living in sin, it will 100% of the time hinder your relationship with Jesus to some degree. You say, well, I go pray and, you know, I don't feel all this. I don't feel the victory. I don't feel the peace. It's because you probably got a chunk of sin in your heart. It's not hard to understand. How many of you love your kids? And you love them unconditionally, don't you? Whether they behave or misbehave, right? Right? But when they're behaving, is your relationship smoother than when they're misbehaving? It's not rocket science. Now, Pastor Jill, quit looking over at Joel. He's a good kid. It's good to have Pastor Jill in our midst with her second new knee. I mean, you talk about kicking. She's going to start kicking here soon. Appreciate you. Are y'all with me on this? And those of you that don't have kids, just wait. I heard somebody say the other day, I never let my child cry. I didn't say anything. I just stayed quiet. I said, just wait. Oh, if I ever get him to 6 years old, then I'll be, oh, no, just wait. When they turn 12 and 13 years old, you can go, what happened to my kids? The relationship gets a little rocky. The love from daddy doesn't change. The love from daddy never changes. Right? How many of y'all, I'm going to be the kid. I'm running out of time. I'm preaching long. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ever been in trouble when you were a child? Let me see your hands. Jeff he just went for it. I'm just teasing, buddy. Yeah, I got double hands in the back and a foot up too. Did you ever try to hide after you misbehaved? Look, I lived on a big farm. I'd go hide in the hay barn. Mom used to switch. Mom loved me. She'd give her life for me, but when I misbehaved and deserved the switch, we weren't in very good relationship. Come on. Because I would run and hide. God says, I want you to find a place that's private, and I want you to make an appointment with me. Don't care how long it is. I want you to be free. I want you to have liberty. But the reason you don't come is you're hiding. I tell you, when I misbehave, I don't pray as much. There's something going on there, y'all. So Mom got smart. Instead of yelling out, the more she yelled, the longer I was staying in that barn. And I tell you, I had hay tunnels built all through the hay. I had houses, basements, attics. I had escape hatches. She could have come looking. I'd have got out the other way. You can run, but you can't hide. So she'd just wait till dark. Because she knows I'm coming out of that barn at dark. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who comes knocking first? And maybe you'll run to the door or run out front, or maybe you're hiding. But he keeps knocking. Or maybe it's this way. He'll be waiting for you. He's the initiator. Not just when we're in trouble. He's just the initiator all the time. In church, he's knocking at the door. our hearts as a congregation this morning and our hearts as individuals, not because we're necessarily in trouble. There had to be a little conviction there. But because He wants to be, and this is His primary motive. He wants to be involved in your life. Jesus wants to be involved in your life. So He's knocking again here today on my heart. And He's knocking on your heart. He's not mad. He loves you. He just wants, can I just use modern terms? He just wants to hang out. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to know Him. Everything else, you say, well, I need so much fix it. Just hang out with Jesus. He'll fix you. Well, I hadn't been very good. Well, quit hiding in the barn and go on out and visit with Him anyway. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in our weakness, the Scripture says. Isn't Jesus good? I close with a thought. And it's not truly a pet peeve because I try to stay away from preaching pet peeves. We all have them, don't we? I don't care if you pray a 15-second blessing at the meal or an hour at your personal altar at home, or you're asked to pray at a family meal for a minute, do it from your heart. I learned that about 15 years ago. I think I got through all these notes. There's no such thing. And I've cut my teeth on prayer. From the very beginning, I was blessed to be discipled by people that prayed. There's no such thing as a little prayer unless we make it little. Don't make your relationship with God and your communication with our wonderful Savior a little thing. Now, if you come to my house to eat, you don't have to pray long. But pray from your heart. I had to adjust my, even those simple public prayer pieces. About 15 years ago, I remember, I had a guy that was mentoring me. He said, thought you blessed the food the other night, didn't you? Yeah, just, he said, it was just a little ditty. He said, Dale, prayer's not a simple, light thing to be taken lightly. So you can go to lunch with me, and I won't pray long, 20, 30 seconds, but I'll pray with meaning, and you know it. And you know it. All the you know it. Even if it's 20 seconds, and you're asked to pray at the family dinner, I'm hungry, Jesus, save me in glory. I've prayed that. Bless the meat, darn the skin. Open your mouth and poke it in. Do I need to repent? How about, Jesus, you're so good. So thankful to sit at the table this morning with these wonderful people that I call friends, co-laborers. And Lord, we're especially grateful for the food. Amen. Lord, I thank you for my family. We're all hungry. We didn't get up. I don't say this to the Lord, but they didn't get up to 1 o'clock. They're still wrapping gifts at 3. We didn't even start opening gifts to 5. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They were wrapping at 4:30. We were unwrapping at 5. But all my adult children are at home. I said, Lord, I'm so thankful, so ever grateful that just for a few moments today we could all be together as a family. I'm grateful and I'm thankful for these kids, these young adults that are mine, my wonderful wife. And we're so grateful above all the gifts the gift you've given us of salvation. The tree's full, Lord. It's full. There's an abundance, but we're just so thankful for what you've given us. You ever slip in and you got to get to work? Lord, I'm going. I have. Will you stop 30 seconds at the door and say something to him from your heart? I only get it right about 300 days of the year. That's still about 65 days. That's an adjustment there as far as my prayer life. Isn't Jesus good? Remember, prayer shuts the mouth of lions. Prayer brings provision when there's no provision. Prayer blesses those that hear it. You start playing a serious prayer. Oh, I'm starting to chase a bunny. I'm teaching all these interns and new preachers. Quit it. Just pray to Daddy, public or private. Right? Amen. Amen. Lord, will you stand with me, church?